23.
Shut up, Jimmy. I've heard enough out of you. I wish I'd never met you. You've been nothing but trouble to my partner and me, and I curse the day you turned yourself in.
Agent Miller shook his head, put his hand on Agent Murphy's shoulder, and said,
Take it easy, Murph.
Murphy's calm facade was usually impenetrable, but a man can only take so much, and Jimmy had given them more than enough. In the short time they'd known Jimmy, they'd gone from being federal agents, treated with fear and respect by the civilians, to being hobos, treated with scorn and contempt by railroad security, which was a clear demotion. Then they'd gone from being hobos to being security guards at a warehouse full of old files, which, while less clear, they still saw as a demotion. At least hobos choose to do nothing. Watchmen are ordered to do nothing. They'd been deprived of sleep, of their homes, of human interaction, and of their dignity. Miller had spent most of the time yelling, but Murphy allowed himself no such outlet, and instead kept it all bottled up. He'd remained good-natured and cheerful through the entire ordeal, including his trip to Florida. He even came back laughing about the flight home, in which he had the middle seat between two rather large people, who both had raised their armrests. He had returned with Todd's answer to Jimmy. Murphy didn't have to read it. He'd had it dictated to him, and he knew it to be a string of tech gibberish. Arcane abbreviations, directions to do things that made no sense to him. Stuff like, type dir, select menu item 3, use trumpet windsock. He knew roughly what it all meant, but he was unsure that it would have any effect. He transcribed the instructions as best he could and delivered them to Jimmy. Now, together, they were trying to follow them, and it was slow going, made worse by Jimmy. He was clearly getting frustrated, and it was making him bossy, which was the last straw for Agent Murphy. After Murphy finally blew up, it fell to Miller to be the voice of reason.
Now, now, Murph, he said. Losing your temper won't accomplish anything.
Murphy sputtered.
But you're always losing your temper!
Yes, but I'm good at it. You're not. Watch and learn.
Miller looked at Jimmy, sitting there at the far end of the warehouse, holding his tin can and peering at them through his telescope. Miller held his can up to his mouth, which Jimmy took as a cue to lift his can to his ear. The string pulled tight, and Miller spoke.
Jimmy, I speak for both my partner, Agent Murphy, and myself when I say that we both deeply regret his outburst.
I'm certain that you do,
Jimmy said magnanimously.
Yes. It wasn't nearly harsh enough.
With that, Agent Miller threw open the valve on a fire hose of profanities delivered at top volume, and with the occasional hint of vibrato that is the mark of a true virtuoso. Jimmy took the can away from his ear, then put it back, because due to the volume of Miller's voice and the acoustic qualities of the warehouse, the obscenities were actually quieter through the can. When Agent Miller had finally run through the entire Urban Dictionary, and good portions of the Thesaurus, and a rhyming dictionary, the torrent finally petered out. Through the tin can, Jimmy heard Agent Miller say, in a quiet voice, heavy with menace,
Now you look, Jimmy. My partner Murph has shown the patience of a saint. He's doing the best he can to follow those ridiculous directions. So you need to cool your jets, or I'm going to come over there, and the last thing you'll ever hear will be my tinny laughter as I strangle you with your own soup can telephone.
Actually,
Jimmy said,
if the string was pulled tight around my neck, the sound vibrations wouldn't carry through the string.
There was a long silence. Then Jimmy added,
I apologize. Correcting you then was probably not the smart move. I know that working with me has not been pleasant for either of you, and that so far there's been nothing to show for it. But I tell you, we're very close to our goal.
Jimmy took the silence as encouragement and continued.
It's just these instructions of Todd's. It's been years since he's done the things he's telling us to do, and, well, as Agent Murphy told you, Todd's not the brightest man. He's shrewd enough to be dangerous to others, but dumb enough to be even more of a danger to himself.
Miller finally broke his silence to ask,
"So, do you think this is going to work or not, Jimmy?"
Jimmy said,
"We are going to find the file, and when we do, I will prove that everything I've told you is true, but it's going to be a frustrating process. I promise, I'll be more patient. Please give Agent Murphy my apologies."
The three men got back to work. Jimmy deciphered Todd's instructions and watched through his telescope as Agent Murphy attempted to follow them. Finally, they wound their way around the internet and onto some sort of massive corporate database. Jimmy could tell from the address that it belonged to a large gaming company. After several more nonsensical blind alleys, they were looking at a directory with one file in it, a file called repository1-c.txt. Jimmy told Murphy to open the file remotely using the terminal, as they had tried several times before. Unlike all of the other times, this time the file opened. Jimmy said,
"Okay, gentlemen, here comes your proof. Do a search for my full name, James Isidore Sadler."
Agent Miller's voice came back through the tin can.
"It's searching. How long will this take?"
"Usually about 20 minutes, but it depends on the speed of the server we're accessing."
9 minutes later, the search returned a single match. Jimmy silently thanked his parents for giving him a ridiculous middle name, then instructed Murphy to pull up the entry that Jimmy knew defined him as a person. Jimmy didn't need to work very hard to remember which number they were looking for. He had rehearsed this moment thousands of times in his mind. He led Agent Murphy to a specific set of digits and instructed him to read them aloud. Murphy took the can from Miller. His tinny voice said,
"It says 500.
"Yeesh, Philip," Jimmy thought. "That's overkill."
Jimmy put the can to his mouth and said,
"Change that to 12.
12?
"Yes, 12.
Murphy hesitated.
"What'll this do?"
Jimmy tried to sound calm as he explained,
"If I've been telling you the truth, it'll reset my magnetic field so I can use electronics again."
"And if you're not telling the truth?"
"Nothing,"
Jimmy said.
"I mean, it's just some random file some game company's holding on to, right? If I'm lying, the worst that can happen is it'll break some game and they'll have to restore a backed-up copy of the file. Besides, the file has my name in it, right? So this is my entry, and I'm having you adjust the number down, not up, so I can't possibly be stealing anything, can I?"
That seemed to satisfy Murphy. Jimmy couldn't hear the clicking, but he watched through the telescope as Murphy made the change. Jimmy sat for a moment, concentrating on enjoying the moment. Eventually, Agent Miller yelled,
"Hey, what next?"
from the far end of the warehouse. Jimmy stood up, straightened his rumpled second-hand suit jacket, and walked toward the agents, never taking his eyes off of the computer monitor. He walked at a normal pace, but to him it felt agonizingly slow. With each step, the screen got closer, and with each step he became more certain that at any second it would flicker and go dead. He kept walking like that, each step expecting the screen to die, until he couldn't walk any further without kicking the table on which the computer sat. Miller and Murphy both looked shocked, but Jimmy didn't know it. He couldn't take his eyes off of the screen. It was the first time he'd seen a video display of any kind from closer than 15 feet in 30 years, and it was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. Murphy muttered several obscenities. Miller said,
"Okay, so we can stand next to a computer. What's that prove?"
Jimmy said,
"It proves I was telling the truth."
"Not about everything," Agent Miller said. "We didn't arrest the bank's kid for standing next to computers. We arrested him for producing money out of nothing. Frankly, I'm still not convinced this whole magnetic field thing hasn't been a trick from day one."
Agent Murphy rolled his eyes.
"Miller, how could he possibly fake that?"
"If I could tell you that, it wouldn't be much of a trick."
Jimmy expected this. Circumstances had forced him to prove that what he was saying was true, but proof, as is often the case, wasn't very convincing. Luckily for Jimmy, he was convincing, even when he had no proof. Jimmy smiled and said,
Agent Miller has a valid point. None of the people you've been pursuing were wanted for damaging electronics. I can show you how all of the other things were done, but it'll take a little time.
Agent Miller laughed contemptuously and said,
Yeah, I knew it. How long will it take, Jimmy? How much longer are you going to string us along?
Jimmy said, About 15 minutes. He walked lightly over to the camper and grabbed one of the folding lawn chairs they'd been using to augment the warehouse's furnishings. He brought it back to the table and plunked it down in front of the keyboard.
In the meantime, he said, you gentlemen might want to turn on your cell phones and check your voicemail, since you can now.
Jimmy ran a search on the file for Agent Miller's full name. While it ran, he pulled up the text editor and started typing out strings of code, largely from memory. Agent Murphy asked what he was doing, and Jimmy explained that he was writing a quick script that would automate the process of accessing the file in the future, so they wouldn't have to repeat the whole process they'd just been through. There was a lot that Agent Murphy didn't understand about computers, but neither he nor Miller wanted to go through all of that rigmarole ever again, so they let him proceed. Jimmy checked on the search and found that it had returned 4 people with the same full name as Agent Miller. He got the agent's birth date, and that allowed him to narrow it down to 1.
Okay, gentlemen, for my next trick, Agent Miller, I'll need you to tell me your current checking account balance, down to the penny.
Miller shook his head.
If you think I'm going to give you my checking account number, you're crazy.
I didn't ask you for your checking account number, Jimmy said. Just the balance. As I said, down to the penny.
Miller didn't know his balance, but he was able to call the phone number on the back of his debit card to find out. He carefully guarded his keypad as he entered the number on his debit card, but he needn't have bothered. Jimmy was occupied putting the finishing touches on his script. After navigating a phone tree, shouting at a phone tree that he didn't want to open a new line of credit, talking to a human, then shouting at the human that he didn't want to open a new line of credit, he got the number he'd wanted.
Okay, my checking balance is $3,762.43.
Jimmy said,
Splendid. Now please hang up the phone.
Jimmy did a quick search, typed a few characters, then told Agent Miller,
Now call again and ask for your balance.
What? Oh, man, I had him on the phone. I could have just asked the guy to double-check it. Now I have to go through the whole phone tree again.
Jimmy said,
Please, just call again.
Miller had murder in his eyes, but he made the call, climbed the phone tree, and refused the credit line. Jimmy and Murphy watched with growing anticipation as he got closer and closer to his bank balance. Miller said,
Okay, for bank balance, it says to press 1.
He'd opted to stick with the computer tree for this run, since it aggravated him automatically and impersonally, while the human had done so deliberately for his own enjoyment. He looked at his phone, pressed 1, put the phone back up to his ear, and immediately went white as a sheet. He looked at his phone, pressed 1 again, and held it back to his ear a second time.
What is it? Murphy asked. What does it say?
Jimmy looked at the computer screen and said,
It says that his balance is $5,003,762.43. Doesn't it, Agent Miller?
What did you do?
Agent Miller shouted.
Exactly what I said I would.
Whose money is it?
Jimmy shrugged.
It's in your account. I'd say it's yours.
Miller stood up, towering over Jimmy and bellowing down at him.
Don't you give me that! Who did you take it from?
Nobody,
Jimmy said.
How could I have? All I did was type a number into the file. You've been sitting right here, and Murphy's been watching me like a hawk the whole time. I haven't pulled up any other systems or accessed any other files. I haven't even contacted your bank. I've been typing away in a text editor the whole time.
You better be able to take it back. Now!
Miller's face was beet red. Spittle rained down on Jimmy.
I will. But first, a little credit, please. I've lived up to my end here. I told you I'd show you how Martin and all the others got their money, and I have.
By making me a criminal?
I can change it back if that's what you really want, but, gentlemen, tell me, is this embezzling? Have we broken the law? We didn't take the money from anywhere. We didn't deprive anyone of anything. Are there laws against altering reality at a fundamental level?
Miller shouted,
"You haven't altered reality! I'm not stupid! All you altered was a bank record!"
"By changing a plain text file that has nothing to do with online banking on a server that belongs to a gaming company?"
Jimmy asked calmly.
"Don't give me that!" Miller said. "I don't care where this stupid file of yours is. It's computers. They're all tied in together these days. You and your buddies just found a back door or something. That's all!"
Jimmy's smile remained in place, but it did become a bit less genuine-looking.
"Okay, Agent Miller, say that's true. What about my magnetic field, then?"
"It's a trick!"
Miller whined. He turned to his partner.
"Murph, you've got to see that this is some kind of trick!"
Jimmy turned to Murphy, asked,
"How? How could I have made any integrated circuit that got within 15 feet of me stop working?"
Agent Murphy asked Agent Miller,
"That's a good point. How did he do that?"
"I don't know!"
Agent Miller cried.
"Maybe he keistered an electromagnetic!"
Jimmy said,
"Really now, how likely does that sound?"
"A lot more likely than you getting godlike powers out of a government-issued Dell!"
They both turned to Murphy, who had somehow assumed the role of judge in their group dynamic. Murphy thought for a while, then said in an even tone,
"I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. If he keistered an electromagnetic, he'd have stuck to the side of the boxcar."
Jimmy put up his hands and said,
"Look, this is a lot to take in, I understand. And you're right that all you've seen me do is change a number on this computer and have it change a number on another computer. I can show you the fancier stuff."
Miller bared his teeth and said,
"I think you'd better do that then."
Jimmy said,
"Okay."
He turned to the computer and typed in a command. At first, nothing happened. Then, more nothing happened. Agent Miller scowled. Jimmy held up a finger and said,
"I'm sorry, one second."
He turned back to the computer, looked at the script he'd been writing, muttering to himself. The two agents shared a look that would not have made Jimmy feel safe. Jimmy said,
"Ah, there it is. I tell you, you missed one slash."
He stood up again and said,
"Sorry about that, guys. It should work this time."
He typed the command, hit enter, and disappeared. The two agents blinked in disbelief. They looked at the space where Jimmy had stood. Then they looked at each other. Then they looked around the warehouse to see where Jimmy went. They didn't see him anywhere. Murphy quickly turned to the computer. Miller saw his partner's head turn and followed suit, just in time to see the screen go black. He looked at Murphy, whose face had gone white.
"What happened?"
Murphy said,
"The last thing I saw was reformat C drive."
"What's that mean?"
A distant voice shouted,
"It means the memory has been erased!"
The agents looked to the chair and telescope at the far end of the warehouse and saw Jimmy wearing a beautifully tailored suit. He had shaved, gotten a haircut, and was holding a tablet computer.
"Of course,"
Jimmy continued,
"a good data recovery specialist could get it all back, but by then I'll have password protected the file anyway, so there's really no point."
Jimmy reached down to the chair, picked up the notebook that contained Todd's instructions, and said,
"Just came back for this. Thanks for your assistance, gentlemen."
The two agents started running as fast as they could toward Jimmy, who said,
"Keep the $5 million. Consider it a tip. You can use it to pay for anger management classes."
Jimmy poked at the tablet screen and disappeared.